Hello and welcome to a special presentation of In the Money Media and the In the Money Media Players Podcast. This is a special show for the racing at Keeneland on this rainy Friday. I'm your host, Peter Thomas Fornital, back with you in the Brooklyn Bunker once again, and joined by one of the many of handicappers on our team who've been writing about Keeneland this meet, who I really don't want to miss a thing that they're saying when I'm betting Keeneland, because we bring a real nice variety of insight coming from a lot of different perspectives. Some of it's free over at InTheMoneyPodcast.com. We have some extra stuff behind the paywall, InTheMoneyPodcast.com/plus. But this is a man who you've probably become familiar with in the last few years, focusing on the all-turf pick three bet, a bet I know he loves, a bet we probably will not be able to play today, given the weather conditions out there. I am speaking of Michael Domable. Michael, how are things?
Things are good, Pete. It's always a little bit comforting to have Keeneland on during the spring. Maybe a little Masters on in the background. It's kind of like a nice happy place for this time of year.
It is great. There are some of the real harbingers of spring. Throw in a ball game in the background, and you've got the trifecta. As far as I'm concerned, not sure if there's any MLB action on Friday afternoon. We're getting into that night game only Friday portion of the year. Yeah, we'll have to wait till tonight to watch baseball. But still, Masters and Keeneland, it ain't bad. I know you've been very interested in the all-turf pick three since its inception. I know you've been very excited about this new terrific wagering menu change that they've made over there at Keeneland. I think that's where we're going to start our analysis today. But talk maybe a little bit higher level about your involvement in these doubles so far.
Yeah, no, I definitely think my primary focus just from writing on the website has been the turf pick three. And I probably can comfortably say no one's a bigger fan than me of it, just because I don't think anyone has penned as many words of analysis about that wager as I have. I think I'd take the crown on that. But as much as I love the all turf pick three, 3% or a $3 minimum and 15% takeout can't get me to love an off the turf pick three. So I think today is a good opportunity to try to look at the daily double wagers and hone in on a couple spots, especially with the decision that Keeneland made to lower takeout on the daily double wager. It's one of the things, especially dropping 7% from 22 to 15. That's a big move, and we want to support it as horse players.
Absolutely. I'm not opposed to the idea. There still will be a all off-turf pick three, or partially off-turf, partially on-turf pick three, as it's going to probably be the case today. But it feels like a fool's game to try to do that without the benefit of scratches and without the benefit of having any clue of how the track is playing and how the weather actually is. But still not a bad idea for a bet to take a look at as you're going along today. You'll have the benefit of being able to watch four races before that goes. But we are going to dive right in as your first play comes early in the card.
Yeah, I think the way I approached it kind of for this podcast was I kind of wanted to think of it as a little live money contest that I would play. Like, how would I play a live money contest on this card, knowing that there's some weather in the area? And so you'd have to kind of zig and zag a little bit, be on your toes. But what I thought would be a good first play is to try to hone in on who I think the most likely winner on the card is. And that comes in the second race. The number two, or the second race, number six, Sharp Shot, who is going out for Brad Cox, got a lot of speed and is could likely take them wire to wire. Nick has him 7-2 on the morning line. I think he'll go off shorter than that. But my approach when I see a horse that might get bet down in the wind pool is to try to play doubles into that horse rather than doubles out of that horse. I think you get a little bit more value with the win, that drop in win odds being blind to the majority of the betting public. So what I would want to try to do in this spot is kind of take a weighted double approach into the number six Sharp Shot in the second race. So in the first race, unfortunately, I don't have a super clever opinion. I do think the number six Tilted Towers is the most likely winner. And I would probably put, the way I think about it is kind of like similar to sports betting in unit sizes. I would probably put 5 units on Tilted Towers into Sharp Shot 6-6 double for every 2 units that I do with the number two Figuretti into Sharp Shot. And then I'd sprinkle a little bit on the 3, 8, and 10 into sharp shot just to try to cover my bases. Just thinking that that number 6 in the second race is a likely winner. Want to get a little bit better of a return on investment than I would in the win pool by eliminating some of the horses in the first leg of that double.
Yeah, makes all the sense in the world. Approach that I favor as well, and I think you're on the right horses. I would have picked Tilted Towers in this first race. I think coming back in just 13 days off the layoff showed a hint of speed, caught some money. Looks like a horse that's probably ready to fire a best type race for this 8-year-old. And that race would put this horse right there. And then what I really like is he's shown that he can stalk and pounce effectively as well. So where I could see the 3, 8, 10 out there, the horse's time form has early out there on the lead. I feel like this horse will get the perfect stalk and pounce trip. In a way, you're using a UK betting, a much more widely available UK/betting exchange type take when you spread like this in the first leg of a double, where you're betting against the horse that's going to take money that you don't have, and that presumably is Holiday House. What is it you don't like about that one?
Yeah, I think over the past couple meets, the turf weight form hasn't necessarily translated super well to Keeneland, at least from what I've seen, especially when moving from synthetic to dirt. And so I think this one will just get bet off of a lot of the synthetic form from earlier in the year. And kind of the metrics that I'm looking at just kind of represents negative value. And if I'm kind of focusing in on the morning line favorite and the morning line second choice, I've got to at least take some of those shorter prices out in this weighted double approach.
I think you're probably isolated the right one to leave out. Holiday House, my bigger issue is just looking at a pace map. I think it's sort of an unusual running line last time where the horse was fifth early, but it wasn't like a closing fifth. This is a horse, I think, that really wants to be closer. And there's so many horses in this pace map that are going to be ahead of Holiday House early. I just think it's, you know, what Sean Borman might call a bad situation when it comes to this runner. And if Nick's right about the morning line or even close, you eliminate that 4-1, 5-1, 6-1, whatever it's going to be. All of a sudden you're able to turn the odds in your favor. And then, yeah, I think you've isolated a horse that's a very likely winner in sharp shot on this drop, shown the ability to handle the dirt in that career debut, and just might be as loose as he wants to be in here. Sharp shot hoping to make this fifth start a winning one. Shall we look ahead to, we got to talk about race 7 a little bit here, the FanDuel Limestone Stakes. Was there anything between the 2nd and the 7th that you wanted to chime in with an opinion on, or should we just zip ahead?
Yeah, we can zip ahead to the 7th. I am concerned. We'll see. I think the 7th will probably stay on the turf, and we can handicap it as such, just it being a stakes race. But
that was my thought. My thought was they'd probably take the 5th off and leave the 2 stakes on, because they've been pretty kind to the turf course so far this meet. And after the last couple of days, I'd be surprised if they took this one off. I mean, I do think there's going to be plenty of cut in the ground, and that's going to be a factor in here. But I just thought even if you don't have a pick to give out in this race, that it was definitely worth talking about, just because there's some really interesting runners here in this stake. No more so than our old pal Crimson Advocate making her return to the race. Has had that thrilling win in the Queen Mary, of course, and then came back and fired a shot in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf Sprint. Didn't have any answers for the closers when they came there that day, but I thought it was very interesting potential best of speed. I mean, I'd feel better about her without the cut in the ground, honestly. I don't know how they're going to bet this race, but I'm not going to let her go by without at least a token wager. But, you know, maybe I'm just being a fanboy there. What do you think of Crimson Advocate and all the rest in the Limestone?
Yeah, I mean, I think the story of this race for me, I don't think I'm going to get super involved from a wagering standpoint, just not knowing if anybody's going to defect due to the wet weather and things like that. But I think the story of the race for me is kind of what you touched on, is the fact that your friends over at Black Type Thoroughbreds have won in the race, taking on one of their former charges. So on the outside, you've got the 12 amidst waves, yep, who showed some talent in turf sprints as a juvenile last year, similar to Crimson Advocate. I'm sure the boys made a nice profit selling Crimson Advocate privately, kind of similar to what they did with You Almost Had Me, who ran at Keeneland last week. I think they kind of the proverbial selling high on both of these two would be my thought, not having any inside information at all. But I do think Amidst Waves is got a good chance from the outside post. That would be probably my tentative quote unquote pick, but just because it would be kind of poetic for the Black Type Thoroughbreds folks to get the win with him or with her in this spot.
Yeah, be very interesting to see how it plays out for the team with Amidst Waves, right, and the former charge, Crimson Advocate, the one that I'm most interested in just on that Queen Mary form from a betting point of view. But both of those go with chances. One goofy one I'll throw in that I just think is interesting off a hot trainer angle and pedigree, the 5 Kodiak Wintergreen is one I will not be leaving out in this spot. Was effective at Saratoga, turf sprinting, showing some good late kick there. And just with the Kodiak on the top, Pivotal on the bottom, maybe one that'll cope with moisture more than some of these. So that's just another one I would mention there in race number 7. We have the rare but wonderful Grade 1 action on a Friday in the form of the Maker's Mark Mile. Really, really cool and interesting race, led by Master of the Seas, your Breeders' Cup Mile winner. And it feels really interesting to me that Charlie Appleby also sends over Naval Power in this spot, because I think back to Modern Games, and Modern Games didn't really fire a shot in this race, but at the same time, probably would have been suited by a much faster pace. It makes me wonder if Naval Power's here as a bit of a pace setter for Master of the Seas. If all things are run equally, feels very unlikely that anybody's going to step up and beat Master of the Seas. But I'm going to try, especially if this field holds together with the 8 runners. I'm going to give Cheryl Spite another try. I pick this horse every time, seemingly. And last time, I just thought the trip in the Pegasus was terrible. Bump coming out of the gate. There was another meaningful spot of trouble for him later in the race. Still beaten. I mean, didn't run great at all, but still with trouble, beaten less than 4. Sounds like one of these horses for whom a little bit cooler weather is good. And obviously Keeneland is his favorite course. So I'm going to take a little shot, in England, where you can bet the each way and get a quarter of the odds or a fifth of the odds just by running in the top 3. Cheryl Spite very appealing in there, but I'll even probably have a penny against Master of the Seas, though obviously Master of the Seas, to me anyway, obviously the most likely winner. I'm not too interested in I think all the rest have tricky setups here. If I'm right about Naval Power being in there as a horse to give a lead to Master of the Seas. Otherwise, if Naval Power wasn't in the race, I'd tell you a story about Emmanuel, but the way I'm going to play it is basically 4-6, and I'll have those as exact as, but I'll definitely have some Cheryl Spite on top as well. How do you see this year's Maker's Mark Mile?
Yeah, I think we see this quite differently, I would say. I think Master of the Seas is just not going to represent any value. I mean, right, he's probably the most likely winner, but you got to think back to, that was a really firm turf course that he produced that electrifying kick over at Santa Anita in the Breeders' Cup Mile. This is not going to be necessarily the same situation. Now, the big question is are any of these horses going to handle what's likely to be a softer turf course today? But with that variable thrown into play, I just wouldn't want to take a short price on him. I'm got to go back to Integration one more time. I think I was a fan of him heading into the Pegasus World Cup turf. We got wildly overbet in that spot, but I was still suckered in. And I was disappointed after watching the race the first time, but with more time, I think that loss is not as disqualifying for him to me. I mean, Warmheart is she's a very talented filly. And then I'm Very Busy flattered that form as well by coming back and dominating at the fairgrounds last time. I think there was a pockets of that trip from Integration that could have gone better, especially coming down the lane. Got kind of had to wait a little bit longer than I would have liked to see to produce that kick. And so I just think, you know, last time he was way over bet, and then maybe some of the shine is off, and he'll be a better price today against a heavy favorite. And then the one other horse that I would want at least some backup tickets on is the number 5 Kubrick. Produced a pretty strong kick to win at Tampa, and this is one of the few colts in the field that does have some proven form over soft ground, or yielding ground in France from a couple years ago. And so it's just, you don't know if he's good enough, but this is one where you're taking a shot where he's unexposed versus a lot of these other ones. You kind of know who they are.
I get it. I mean, they're different approaches. Only one of us can be right, but that's sometimes what's fun about doing these shows. And obviously I respect your opinion enough that if I have some combinations where I can throw those runners in, maybe I will. I mean, with Shirl Spite and the price that he'll be, wouldn't be too hard, I wouldn't think, for me to mess around a little bit with those runners. All right, we are out of time for this one, but we're going to have you back for Saturday to quickly go through that late pick 5 on that show and talk about more Grade 1 turf action. Michael, always a pleasure.
Yeah, thanks, Pete.
Thank you once more to Michael. Thanks to our sponsors over at Keeneland. I'm Peter Thomas Fornital. May you win all your photos.